Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shift Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, it's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to the 41st episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. I'm Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and my team and I are dedicated to bringing you leading-edge information so that you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We will be here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so plan on joining us each and every week. Today we've got part three of five serious stressors. Which ones are you doing? That's your secret number 41. Today we start out with a quote from Aristotle. It is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. It is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. So let's think about this and have this as our kind of our guiding light as we move through today's session. It's been a full day already. I'll have you understand that. So started early in this morning, and I am just in a place of wonder and gratitude for all that has happened. It's amazing how things just synchronistically come together. So let's review what the five serious stressors are and find out which ones you're doing. And again, I thank you for all of the feedback at info@makingshiftshappen.com. And the serious stressors are living in drama, where you awfulize and catastrophize, avoiding peace, avoiding learning, I know what I know, avoiding change, and living only in the past or in the future. So last week we talked a little bit about avoiding peace. And one of the things that I find very interesting is the contradictions that seem to be set up inside mind-body, inside mind and body and body and mind and body and body and mind and mind. We are just a walking mass of contradictions because in certain ways, like attracts like, and in other ways, opposites attract. And so we are working with the understanding that there are various dynamics happening with us. So let's talk a little bit about learning. I opened with a quote, an educated mind is to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. So one of the things that we as humans do is we feel very comfortable, we've even named it comfort zone, in understanding that there are certain things that we know. And I know what I know, don't bother me with the facts. And we may want to stay in that comfort zone of what we know because we understand at a very dynamic level that when we learn something new, we will be able to do something new. When we know something new, we will be able to change our lives dramatically. A little bit later on in the show, I'll talk about how one thought can change your mind and change your life. How one thought. And in the example I use, it's six simple words. six simple words changed this person's life dramatically. And it took him out of a life he thought he knew and moved him into a life he never expected to have. So one of the things that I work with my clients, I'd like you to visualize this. To imagine that you have this filing cabinet. And in the filing cabinet are all the things that people have told you, the things your parents taught you, the things you learned in school, the things you learned from your friends, the things you learned from watching TV or the news, or the things you learned throughout going through this life. And they're all filed in this file cabinet. And sometimes we think we get really creative with solutions, but basically we're going back to the same information that sits in our file cabinet. So if we don't go out and learn something new, we keep dealing with the same amount and the same volume and the same old, boring information that sits in our file cabinet. And once in a while, we may go in and open a folder and go, oh my gosh, I knew this, and I haven't been doing this for a long time, and now I remember it, and I'll start doing it more. But really, you're limited to what you think you know, and what you think you know has also been filtered. So if we go back to the file cabinet, say you get a 10-page document that you were taught, but you only downloaded 3 pages of it before you got bored, and then that's what you filed in your file. So the information is incomplete. We talked about the stress of incomplete information as well. So the information is incomplete. You think it's working. You think it's going well for you. And it isn't. It quite simply is not doing its job. So if you want to change your behaviors, change your perceptions, change your experience, you have to open up that file cabinet and purge the old files that don't work. Okay, so I was mentioning that if you want to change behaviors, experience, how you do things, how you think about things, you have to open that file cabinet and purge what's in there, clean out what no longer works for you, and go out and find some new information that you can be aware is either truth or true for you. And when you start coming in with new information and new experience and new understandings, it reinforces the information you've brought in, and it lets you know other things that you can do. So you can change your emotion. You can change your mental process. You can change whatever you would like to change, either with conscious awareness or with conscious unawareness, and learn something new. There used to be a TV show on Dragnet, or on TV, that was called Dragnet, and I think his name was Jack. And he'd walk around during the show going, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Sometimes what people think are the facts are really not the facts, but we act on them as if they are. So when you're learning something new, even listening to this Blog Talk radio show, I would encourage you to go out and find out whether or not what I'm telling you is true, and then run a litmus test on whether it's true for you. Come into, why is stress created? Well, stress is created with these serious stressors when you don't fulfill the capacities that you have as a mind-body presence. So you are made to learn. You are actually made neuroplastic, which means your neurons, the nerves and the cells in your brain and the cells in your body, have an ability to change shape and reform. Neuroplastic, they're not rigid structures. We were taught that they were, and that's not a truth. We were taught that they were plastic or rigid. But science has told us over and over again that we're neuroplastic. We're designed to learn, and we're designed to change. Given that capacity, when we don't learn something, really do sincerely take ourselves out of our best way of being, and we put ourselves in a place where we're not operating on all cylinders. Now, there's a movie out not too long ago called Limitless, and it's where somebody took a pill and they feel like they were able to access all of their brain cells and access everything that was ever happening in their life and know beyond what they knew. And I think there's even a TV show that or a series now that's going to be built on that. Well, the dynamic and the principle underneath that, the philosophy underneath that is we don't use as much of our brain and our thinking capacity as we could. And that's true. Our subconscious runs us like software runs in the background of a computer. And it runs our background and it shapes our experience and it shapes our output. And we have limits, whether they're self-imposed or not. And those limits can create stress for us because we live with the sense that there's got to be something better out there. We don't know how to get it. We don't know how to achieve it. One of the ways you can achieve it is increasing your knowledge base and understanding what you can do to learn so that you can be or do differently. It looks like we're coming up on a commercial break right now. So let me tell you that the Calm Moms free report no longer has the bonus of the audio. So please understand that as you're listening to this, and we'll be right back after this break. Thank you for staying tuned.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now, we don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children, have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited-time offer, so act right now to get your special bonus.
And we're back. Again, I apologize for a lot of the background noise. They're doing construction in the office next to ours. We've got some clients moving in and out. So it is a little bit of background noise going on, and I apologize for that. We mentioned right before the break about neuroplasticity and the ability for the brain to reshape, and actually some of the nerves in the body, to reshape and reform. How does this happen? Well, that's too technical for us to get into in this radio show. I'd just like for you to understand that the capacity is there. And when you live to a fuller capacity, you're actually creating new dendrites or brain cells, and you are growing your brain so that you have more information in your file cabinet and you have more choice. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, and she said, but I do have choices. And I said, are they the same choices? Oh, yes, I guess they are, when you put it that way, because I had talked to her about the file cabinet and everything. I said, do you just go to file A or file B or file C and think that you have different choices? And she said, oh, that's what I'm doing. I'm not creating any new choices for myself. I'm just going to different ones. And I said, yes, that's what's happening. So change is inevitable, as we all begin to know, and kind of change happens that creates stress. Well, let me, again, come back into a life example that comes from me. When I grew up, we did not have computers. There might be computers in NASA and stuff like that, but people didn't have computers, and now they've got computers the size of a watch. Well, for us, that was science fiction. That was something in the TV show Get Smart, where he could talk to his watch and accomplish things, or Star Trek, where they had transponders and transformers. And really sincerely, as I look at Star Trek now, it gave us a glimpse of this future, but it didn't really give us a glimpse of the future in 2012, because people would not have to carry the object like a phone. Anyway, that's kind of getting off the beaten track. But change is inevitable. And even when we expect it and we plan for it and we work for it, it is sometimes takes us off guard and we're not quite sure what to do with it. We're not sure how to handle it. We're not sure how to best manage it so that we can keep our lives and ourselves feeling a little bit in control. And control is a huge thing for people. Sometimes lack of control creates stress. Sometimes too much control creates stress. But stress, if we go back to the definition of it from Hans Selye, is the demand for change that is placed on an organism. It's the demand for change. It's an adaptogenic process. And we as humans have that capacity. We can change on a dime. We can change a lifelong philosophy in one brief instant of time. So I mentioned earlier in the show how one new thought can change your mind and even change your life. One of my dear friends, he's since passed away, was a man named Paige Bailey. And Paige Bailey is the one that got me into some of what I'm doing today. I actually worked with him and taught classes with him. And these things were the foundational underpinnings of what we taught to educate people about nervous system and nervous system activity. One new thought can change your mind. So let me tell you a little story. And Paige was a beautiful man, a glorious spirit, and he was extremely intelligent. So sometimes it took me a while to get into what he was saying because I had to figure out and translate it into what I perceived as normal language. But he was telling me that he had a life experience. He was destined to be a first chair orchestra celloist. I think that's correct. Either that or flute. I'm sorry, it's been a while. Anyway, he was groomed for that by his family, by his peers, by his teachers, to be this first chair in an orchestra. And he was attending college and had a show that night. And he was eating dinner at the fraternity house. And some of his fraternity brothers had been drinking a little beer, and they were a little boisterous. And Paige had come down to dinner in his tux, in his formal tux, for the show. And one of his fraternity brothers looked at him, and he said, "You know what? I think that black tux would look better white." And he picked up a milk pitcher to throw the milk on Paige. And Paige, to avoid this, put his hand through a window. It was one of those sliding glass door windows. And he fell through it hand first. And the next thing he knew, he woke up in the hospital and his hand was bandaged. And there was a janitor in the room kind of sweeping the floors. And he looked at Paige and he said, "Well, are you that Paige Bailey kid?" And Paige said, "Well, yes." And he goes, "Well, you must be some important kind of kid." And Paige said, "Why do you say that?"
And he said, because there are about six doctors down there trying to tell you, you ain't never going to play your instrument again. And with that, Paige's whole world collapsed. You ain't never going to play your instrument again. So about 10 words. Totally collapsed his world and his life and his future, because that was what he had planned on doing for his entire rest of his life. However, he was sitting in the hospital feeling very sorry. His recovery was delayed. They couldn't discharge him when they thought they would be able to. And this was back when hospitals kept you for a lot longer. Now it would be considered maybe outpatient surgery, and he would be sent home the same day. But they had tried, and they were somewhat successful in repairing his sliced up and diced hand so that he could at least have a functional hand. It was not going to work what it needed to do for him to play, but it was going to let him function with a functional hand for the rest of his life. That was as good as they could get it. And he was very depressed and sitting in the hospital and dealing with this over and over. His self-esteem was gone because he had attached himself to being first chair in an orchestra. His future was gone because he had attached himself to being first chair in an orchestra. And he didn't find a life worth living after those 10 words took away his entire life. So he was being visited by one of his professors. And the professor was not doing this as an attempt to cheer him up at all. Not at all. But he came in and he said, you know, Paige, your musical ability is not your greatest gift. And Paige looked at him and he said, what? Because all of his life he'd been told that by the people who wanted him to be first chair. And he said, I don't know what my life is. And the teacher looked at him and said, you will be a master teacher. Six words. You will be a master teacher. 10 words took his life away. Six words gave him his life. So that's the power of words. That's the power of new thoughts. Those are phenomenal thoughts of how 10 words can change your life course. How six words can change your life course. And sometimes, even with the words like, I'm sorry to inform you, reach a point of changing your life irrevocably from those points on. You learn something new, it might not have been what you wanted to learn. Or it might have been exactly what you needed to learn. You will never play your instrument again, not what you want to hear. You will be a master teacher, exactly what you want to hear. So it's fascinating how one or two pieces of information can change your life for the better, for the worse, or maybe in the direction it was designed to go the whole entire time. So I'm going to leave you with this thought. I think we're coming up on time. I'm not really sure. Again, with Mercury being in retrograde, things are not smoothly flowing the way they usually do. I have two different times on two different computers, a different time on my phone, and because the phone call was interrupted right in the middle of the radio show, I'm not quite sure how long I've been on. So I hope you will just bear with me as we move through this communications and computer snafus and get through the show less stressed than we could normally. Let's just look at this as a humorous kind of interlude and come back into touching on intentional and unintentional learning. Paige was not intentional in learning that he would not play his beloved instrument again or even be able to really play music the way he loved to again. That's kind of the unintentional learning. Also, the unintentional learning was, you will be a master teacher. That information came to him in a different way. It was not intentional. He was not seeking a new way of being. He was in tremendous grief over his life ending as he knew it. However, he took that and he went and created a phenomenal life based on those six words. And we often say, you know, when you've struggled, you get to look back and see what the struggle was all about. That's a limitation in my perspective. That's a limitation. Every experience in life has the ability to bring you expansion and growth and learning and dynamic living. So people tend to look to their bad experiences and say, well, that's what I can learn from, my bad experiences, so that that doesn't happen again. What if you learn from your good experiences in much the same way, so that you can always learn, whether you've judged the experience as good or bad, right or wrong, up or down, inside or outside? What if you live with the capacity of your neuroplasticity, and no matter what happens, you have the capacity to learn from it? So let's finish with a quote, and I like this. It comes from Selma Hayek, because, again, it changes our perspective, which is one of the things that I'm asking you to do during our radio shows, is to spend what you think you know for just a little while and spend some time filling your file cabinets with different information. So Selma tells us, people often say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I say the most liberating thing about beauty is realizing that you are the beholder. This empowers us to find beauty in places where others have not dared to look, including inside ourselves. The greatest beauty is inside of you. So that's all for today's show. I encourage you to email in at info@makingshiftshappen.com with any questions you might have or to add to the speed round. I'd like to thank everyone who signed up for my free reports. And if you haven't done so already, consider leaving us a review. It helps us to let other people discover the show and get better seen in iTunes and on Stitcher. Well, this afternoon I am out meeting with a few people that I really enjoy being around, and that's what I'm going to do for fun today. I hope you can tell that even though I was faced with some technical challenges, some communication challenges, and some changes, I didn't get stressed. I had different choices. I used my stress management skills of breathing, drinking water, awareness, and present moment. And I love doing this show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. To learn more or to reach out to Dr. Steph, please visit makingshiftshappen.com and join us again next time.